Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Ed's on vacation. But he was on vacation, but he was like, oh, no, I don't mind coming in, you know, and doing Wednesday. You know, I'm scheduled. I'm like, you're on vacation. So we have enough folks around here where if I didn't feel led to do it, we have plenty of folks that can hear from God and deliver the word. Amen? That's just one of the ways God has blessed us here. But he's on vacation, so I'm not Pastor Ed. I'm Pastor Greg. Okay. But it was interesting because some thoughts had been rolling around in my head, and I thought they were for tonight, and God told me it wasn't tonight. He told me when. He wants me to release that word. And so last night, I have my iPad on my lap. I wasn't even watching the game last night. I just shut down and I thought, okay, I want to hear. And I wasn't hearing anything. And after a while, it became apparent that he just wasn't ready to tell me. So I turned on the game. If he doesn't say nothing, there won't be nothing. Okay. And when I came in this morning, I was thinking about it, and the night was distracting. I mean, at 3 o'clock in the morning, a smoke detector went off, of all places, in the bedroom. It just went off for about 15 seconds and then stopped. Nothing was going on. It just, you know, I guess it was designed to disrupt our sleep. But when I came in, you know, I got here later than I wanted to because I called the office, you know, and talked to the custodian about it. Said, I don't want to keep getting awakened at 3 a.m. by a screeching smoke detector unless there's a fire. Okay. But we're having staff development here, and staff, it's just been outstanding. But I walked into the room where they were meeting, and I sat down in the back, and I didn't know what had happened before. But when I walked into the room, God started downloading things. And he told me, he said, when you walked in here, he said, it's not that the atmosphere wasn't right at home, but I want you to understand how important it is for the atmosphere to be right among the staff here. Because they had just got finished praying one for another, and it had changed the whole. As soon as I walked in the room, I felt it changed. And I started freely hearing God telling me what he wanted to do tonight. The reason I'm sharing that with you is that if God called you here, or wherever God has called you, you have to get on one accord. You have to be in agreement so his spirit can move freely among those who he has ordained to share the word, to be his leaders. You have a crucial part. Crucial. If it's not right with you, it's not going to be right with whomever comes up here. Because it's like something clouds the atmosphere. And so I was grateful. I shared with Pastor Judy. I didn't tell her I was going to say anything tonight because I didn't know I was. But it doesn't matter. But I just want folks to know just how grateful I am that you're not only receptive to the training, but you're taking it all in. And it is indeed changing the atmosphere in this place. Why don't we go to John 3:16? Does everyone know what a selfie is? Okay. What's a selfie? You take a picture of yourself. Okay. Well, God gave me a little analogy about that. So if you need a title, it's called a selfie. You don't have to send me an email and tell me it's not a word. I know it's not. Not yet. But because people have been using it, give it 2 years, it'll be in the dictionary. Right? Like some of the other words. But let's go to John 3. John 3, and let's read John 3, 16 and 17. Are we there? I figured. Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Okay? Now let's this is a very familiar passage. Proverbs 3. Let's go there. And as you're turning, say, I'm a believer, and I love others the same way Jesus loves me. Amen. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean that you're not going to occasionally miss it. It means you're forgiven and you know how to forgive. And no matter what happens, you're going to love them. That's all. You're just going to love them. But verse 5, let's read verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now let's think about that for a moment. See, he's saying, don't let you determine whether you're right or wrong. That's what they're saying. I can't let me determine what's right, and I can't let me determine what's wrong. It has to be based on what he has said in his book. That's the determination. See, we see ourselves, everybody has, and we're going to read a few scriptures later, but everyone has a selfie of who they believe they are. Period. Everybody paints their own picture of them, and how we see ourselves and what we vision in our mind's eye is a powerful influence on us. Because we're always going to act based on how we see ourselves. I was looking some things up, and I found out that the cosmetic surgery industry, you know, and they say we're in a recession and people are out of work and money is scarce and all of this stuff, yet over $10.6 billion each year is spent on cosmetic surgery. $10.6 billion. Now, I'm going to tell you this next stat. And I'm not speaking about anybody. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just stating what the facts are. Women spend $600 billion in 2011 on hair weaves. $600 billion on hair weaves. $600 billion. And it said that 8 out of 10 women have extensions. We're not going to check anybody. But I started thinking about, okay, why? Why do people feel that they need to spend $600 billion on their hair? Why do they need to spend $10 billion on cosmetic surgery? Why do people have to spend, you know, $400, $300 on a pair of sneakers or shoes? or something because it has a label in it. Why? Because how they see themselves in their own eyes. In their own eyes. See, how many of you ever heard the term, God don't like ugly? How many of you know God never said that? Okay. Let me tell you what he did say. I'm going to say this, then we're going to go back to Numbers. Boy, God, you put me way down in your notes. Where's my scriptures in Genesis? In Genesis, he said, we're made in his image and how? After his likeness. And in Genesis 1:31, he said that when he looked back at all that he had made, he saw that it was very good, some translations say. It tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So why are we going to let someone else's opinion, someone else's words, change the way we see ourselves? Why can't we just see ourselves made in his image and after his likeness? Why can't we see ourselves fearfully and wonderfully made? In a little bit, I'm going to share you about three or four different translations of that scripture so you'll really understand what it's talking about. But let's go to Numbers 13. Because God gave the children of Israel some land. What did he do? Do you think God already knew what was going on in the land? But yet and still he told them that every place where the soles of their feet tread, he has given them. Did he put in any strings to it? Was it based on anything other than what he said? So that means it shouldn't matter what was in the land. Because whatever was in there, if God said it's yours, guess what? It has to go. It has to go. But he sent the spies out. We know the story. Verse 25 said, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. That should have been enough. It's like, this is what God said, and this is what's here. Let's go. No, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. I'm figuring, how did they know? Did they do arm wrestling or something? You know. And the cities are walled and very great. And I'm thinking, well, if the cities are walled, and at that time, folks were around between 4 foot five, 5 foot two. The walls were 10, 12, 15 feet tall. So how can you see over the walls? That's what I'm to see how the people are. All right. No, you see it and you make an assumption. Okay. It said, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. They were giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. To me, I would have said, so what? You know, but he was nice to me. He said, you know, let's just go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And I put my note, I said, really? How'd they come to that conclusion? And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched. An evil, think about this, an evil report of the land God gave you. God is saying, this is yours, and you come and say, that's evil. I mean, that's what happened, right? The land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And again, I'm thinking, if the land eats up the people, how could you see anybody? All right? There wouldn't be anyone there for you to see. And we saw the giants, the son of Anak. Okay, you already said that. Which come from the giants. I guess that's why they call them sons. And we were in our own sight, in our own eyes, as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I have a question. When did they sit down and have a meeting with the inhabitants of the land? And the inhabitants said, you guys are like grasshoppers to us. When did that happen? So what are they basing that on? They took a selfie. They took a selfie. They went and looked. Oh, no, I can't match up with them. They looked at the circumstances and looked at themselves, and they said, ain't no way. And it changed the way they thought. It caused them to think that what God had given them was something evil. Not because of the people that were in the land, because of how they saw themselves. Folks, we have to take a good look at how we see ourselves, because some of us make problems for ourselves because we're not happy with ourselves for whatever reason. We're just not happy. Pastor Red and I were in Tulsa last year, and we were coming back from a meeting, and we got ready to park the car, and he passed by a parking space. I said, there's a space right here. He said, I'm not parking there. I said, why not? He said, that car over there is ugly. I'm not going to tell you what kind of car it is in case one of you have one. And I looked at him, and I looked at the car, and I said, yeah, it is. It wasn't pleasing to my senses. That's what Vicky used to say. She said, that's ugly. I said, Angel, she said, it's not pleasing to my senses. And he said, I'm not parking next to that car. Well, someone will say something, or you'll hear that someone said something concerning you, and some of you might get negatively affected by it. You'll take a selfie based on what you've heard and make that your lifestyle and forget that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Forget that the way God made you, he said, was very good. Period. So who cares what anyone else thinks? Who cares? Well, I don't want to live my life by myself. You're not by yourself. So, yeah, I know you're going to lay that religious line on me that God will never leave me nor forsake me. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. But he also said that if you walk uprightly before him, he'll give you the desire of your heart. So if you forget what people are saying about you and just focus on doing what God said, the first thing that's going to happen is your image of you is going to change. Because you're going to start to feel very good about yourself. And when you feel very good about yourself, your whole countenance changes. Changes. So I could tell, I watch folks, and I can tell when someone's feeling good, when they're feeling bad, when they don't feel good about, I could tell. It's in how they walk. You know, it's very rare that you see someone, they feel great about themselves, they're walking around like this. You never see it? No. If they feel great about they feel great about themselves. I don't care whatever neighborhood I walked in, I didn't care about the reputation of the neighborhood. I walked down the streets like I owned them. Period. One time I was in an area of Staten Island where they told me that, you know, they didn't like people my shade. I have a call there. There's a person there that wanted a security system, and the security system was expensive, and he gave me almost $6,000 in cash as a deposit, and I'm parked three blocks away. And I'm walking down the street with a little paper bag with $6,000 in cash, swinging it around like nothing's going on. Yeah, I have peripheral vision. I see people looking at me, but I'm not. No, I'm just walking. I get to the car, put the bag on the hood. I mean, on the roof of the car. Dig for my keys, unlock the door, take the bag, put it in the car, get in, and go on about my business. I didn't give another thought to anything else that was going on. Why? I know who I am. And I was brand new in Christ, so you know you couldn't tell me anything. Okay. I was like a kid with a new toy. I'm like, I'm in Christ? Oh, yeah, I'm going to work this thing. And I just flat out didn't care where I was or what they think. It did not matter to me. But 10 of those 12 spies took selfies and found themselves lacking and changed the mind of a nation of people. I'm thinking about this, I'm like, even the high priest, I'm like, what are you thinking? We're talking about what God has said about us based on what God's enemy is saying to you. Why should I give him any place? Now, it would be different. It might be different if the Bible says there was war in heaven and Satan threw God out. But God snuck back in, then he threw Satan out, and Satan got in, you know, and they were both teetering for a while, and Satan got a little winded, God got a good punch in there, and the battle was over. Okay? No, it doesn't say that. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Okay? So that meant when Satan said, I'm going up to the fight was over. Okay? And we read the scriptures, and we sing the song. He's under our feet, right? He's under my feet. But then he tells us something negative about ourselves. We take a picture of that and pattern our life after it. And that's what needs to change. That's probably the birthplace of all conflict. Of all attitudes, how we see ourselves. I learned to say to my children growing up, because you know how some children can be, they talk about your mother and all this stuff. And I was talking to my grandson, and he had gotten into a fight, and someone said something about his mother. And I said, well, is it true? He said, what? Is it true what they said? He said, no, Grandpa, it's not true. I said, so what'd you get upset for? It's not the truth. I said, but what if it was true? He said, well, what if it was? I said, would it be the truth? Yes, then it doesn't matter what they say because they're telling the truth. I said, so either way, it doesn't matter what they say. You need to understand that. And I talked to my daughter. And she said, you know what? I'm going to tell him because one of the children said to her, your mother's fat. And she said, I'm going to go and tell him, you know what? I am fat, but I'm losing weight. So when they say to you, your mother's fat, you're saying, yeah, she is fat. She realized that, but she's losing some weight. And go on about your business. Whoops, sorry, Dan. But why get into a fight and get suspended from school. What? Because you allowed someone to paint a picture and you snapped it and now you patterned your life over what they said? I don't think so. I don't think so. That's probably why we're not where we think we should be. We've been too wise in our own eyes. We've been leaning to our own understanding and being, in some of it, being self-righteous about it. I'm going to share the scriptures, but the Bible says each person is right in their own eyes. That's why we have to learn how to start seeing things through his eyes, through God's eyes, not through our own eyes. The voice, well, actually, verse 7, Proverbs 3, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And I read it in a couple of commentaries, and when it talks about navel in the Strong's, it says the umbilical cord. And I'm thinking, yeah, but people don't, you know, once you're born, your umbilical cord is gone, you know. But spiritually, God is saying, when you don't think you know it all, and you don't act like it's all about you, he'll give you everything you need to nourish and sustain you. Because that's what the umbilical cord did when you were in the womb. But now the womb has been replaced by his hands. But the function's still the same. It's to nourish and sustain and allow you to grow. Allow you to grow. Those of you that have had children or studied it, I was watching, Pastor Ed and I were watching a video on how to explain things to children. It was called Where Do I Come From? And in there, I mean, it just tells you just how God has everything all worked out, because, you know, the uterus is designed to hold the growth of the baby. You know, so when the baby grows, it grows. Well, God's hands operate the same way. As you grow, his hands expand. Why? So he keeps you protected and he keeps sustaining you while you're growing to the size that he wants you. Some of us inflate ourselves. And the problem with that is, see, you're getting too big. You know what they're saying, too big for your britches? See, we start leaning to our own understanding. We start believing what other folks are saying, and we clip a selfie, and now we no longer fit in God's hands because we think we've outgrown him. So we'll go off and do things on our own and wind up in a whole lot of trouble. A whole lot of trouble. I'm not going to ask how many of you it happened to. All right. But listen to how the voice puts it. That's why I'm a firm believer that, you know, there's no one Bible translation that's a tell-all. You know, you need to read several translations so you get a clear understanding of what God is saying. And in the voice translation, it says, put your trust in the eternal. Rely on him completely. Listen to this. Never depend upon your own ideas and inventions. Never. You could think you came up with the greatest ever. Never depend upon your own ideas and inventions. Give him the credit for everything you accomplish. Everything. And he will smooth out and straighten the road that lies ahead. How many of you would prefer a rough road? Okay, all right. And don't think you can decide on your own what is right and what is wrong. Don't think you can. So I know. No, you don't. You think. You don't know. Because what you know in any situation can change from one situation to the next. Well, how can you say that? Because of different people. And even if it's the same person, they can change their mind. They could change their perspective. They could change their outlook. But you're still operating the same way. Conflict. Respect the eternal. Turn and run from evil. Verse 8. If you depend on him, your body and mind will be free from the strain of a sinful life. Free from the strain of a sinful life, and you will experience healing and health and be strengthened at the core. You'll be strengthened at your very seat of divine influence. You'll be strengthened. But it's conditional. You can't act like you know it all. You have to act like God knows it all, because he does. And you've heard me say this before. I laugh when people say, well, I'm an expert. I'm like, really now? I laugh because my youngest son says that. He'll tell me something, he'll say, I said, really? I mean, real? I'm like, why is he saying that? Well, he got it from me. But I started thinking, and I'm like, this just doesn't make sense. All I have to do is trust God completely and find out what he wants in every situation and do it. It has to work. Even if it doesn't look like it's working, it's working. You take a seed and plant it in the ground, first few days, it doesn't look like it's doing anything. But if you keep nourishing it, after a while, you'll see a little tiny thing pop up. And you continue to nourish it. I don't know anyone that gets mad because when it first breaks through the ground, they get upset that it's so little and pull it up. No, you keep giving it water. You keep giving it fertilizer. You keep all the bugs from eating the leaves, chase away any gophers or whatever. And this thing grows and grows and then starts bearing fruit. Our lives will be the same once we get to the place where we start trusting God. Psalm 36, first three verses. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. See, we have to be mindful that when we flatter ourselves, we can wind up becoming hateful. Hateful of what? Other folks. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He is left off to be wise and to do good. See, we get so busy being puffed up about what we think and about what we know, we forget we're supposed to be doing good. See, it's never a matter. It really isn't. It really isn't, folks. It's never a matter of who's right. It's always what's right. And the person to consult as to what's right is God, because he's the only one that really knows what's right. And the reason I can say that so easily is because God is the only being that knows absolutely everything about everything. He's the only, nobody else knows. He knows every single thing that anything can ever know. He's the only one that does. So when he talks to us, he's talking to us and he's giving instruction based on what he knows about this circumstance. We listen, you know, to what grandma did and what, you know, what my friends do, or even what pastor said. And we fail to go to the one who knows it all. Who knows it all. And paint the picture based on that. Because when you paint the picture based on it, you're seeing the circumstance not through your eyes, but through his eyes. Proverbs 16 says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. Proverbs 2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But think about it. Why did Peter start to sink when he was walking on the water? Now, what was he doing? He was walking on water. Okay, are you drowning when you're walking on the water? Are you drowning?
No.
Okay, when you're walking on the water, are you in danger?
No.
So why did he change the picture? He looked at the circumstances. He took a selfie, and that picture didn't show him walking on water. He saw waves that were rocking the boat. He's not as big as the boat, so any fool knows if it can knock over a boat, it can knock over you. Help, I perish. You're walking on the water. You're doing what God told you to do. And a circumstance comes. So what? They come. They're supposed to come. Why? To build you up. And to magnify who God is, both at the same time. But he didn't focus on Jesus. He was wise in his own eyes because he was a fisherman by trade. He was familiar with rough seas. He was familiar with boating. And he knew that man doesn't walk on water. It's probably, what was I thinking that I could do this? I can't walk on, and he starts sinking. And he's got to call out for help. See, why did Peter deny Christ? Again, he saw what they did to Jesus, and he probably thought to himself, that's his brain processing. Okay. He thought to himself, he said, you know, when I was water baptized, no voice from heaven came and said, I was God's beloved son. That didn't happen to me, but that happened to him. Nobody touched my garment and got healed. So if they can do this to Jesus, and he's supposed to be the Son of God, what will they do to me? No, I don't know him. No, I don't know him. To the point where they said, oh, no, you sound like him. Oh, really? Would a follower of Jesus say this? But that's the way we do. We do it in the manner in which we dress, in the manner in which we speak with people, in the way we handle our personal affairs. When I mean personal affairs, I mean our financial matters and things like that. Okay. All of that says, I'm not a believer. Why? Because it's not popular, it's not fashionable to be a believer. But Jesus said, we're his church. Are we now going to say we're not? Because it's not politically correct? Yet it's politically correct to say I'm a Satanist? There's something wrong with that. We have to stop taking a selfie. Well, I can't mention the word Jesus at work. Yeah, okay. What about before work? After work? Lunch? Hey, I have to be up on the employment laws. And lunch is neutral. You can even do campaign speeches during your lunchtime as long as the other employees don't have a problem with it because it's their lunchtime too. By law. By law. So, okay, Fine. He didn't pay you to sit at your desk and witness to everybody. That's not why you're being paid. You're being paid to do a job. Deacon Phillips was telling me about a situation. There was a colleague that she's known for some years that doesn't have the best reputation of being friendly and cordial and all of those things. But they had a tragedy in their life. And the Holy Ghost told Deacon Phyllis to give her a financial gift so that she can go in and tend to this situation. And she did. She did. And the woman has had tragedy after tragedy. But now she's coming to speak with Deacon Phyllis. Now, when she comes and initiates the conversation, you can't say it's an imposition. You came and asked. Why did she do that? Because Deacon Phyllis didn't take a selfie based on how this woman used to speak to her and treat the other teachers in that school. She continued to walk as a daughter of God. And even though it's been years, God knew that at this time, that lady was going to need Deacon Phyllis. The enemy knew that also, so he put some stuff out there so that he can sever that relationship so that she would never go to Deacon Phyllis and Deacon Phyllis would never talk to her. But it didn't work that way because Deacon Phyllis chose not to be wise in her own eyes. She didn't look at the woman as being ugly. Let me share these verses with you from Psalm 139. I don't know, I got happy when I was reading them. Verse 14. This is the contemporary English version. I praise you because of the wonderful way you created me. Tell yourself, say, God created me wonderfully. Okay. Everything you do is marvelous. Of this, I have no doubt. Key phrase. You can't doubt that God created you wonderfully. The expanded Bible says, I praise, thank you because you made me in an amazing, awesome, and wonderful way. Tell your neighbor, you're awesome and amazing. Right? And answer him, say, I know this very well. All right, that's not being egotistical, that's being factual. You need to know what Father has said about you, and you need to know it very well. Why? Because when circumstances come to try and tell you something different, you'll be strong because you know. Right? The New Life Version. I give thanks to you for the greatness of the way I was made. Say, God made me great. Okay. The voice. I will offer you my grateful heart, for I am your unique creation. Filled with wonder and awe. Say, that's me. Right. The rest of you say it. Okay. You are God's unique creation filled with wonder and awe. Now, yeah, you can choose if it's your liking and you want to choose your hair, change your hair color, whatever. Nobody, I'm not saying that's wrong. Don't be forced into doing it based on what someone else has said or because you're trying to look, make yourself look more attractive to someone. Because what happens, you go through all of that. I saw a movie once. I'm thinking about whether I want to tell you the name of it. But it was a dumb movie, but it was funny. And in this movie, this guy's at a bar, and he thinks he picks up this woman. And they go off, and he has to tell her that he'd been lying about some of the things he was saying. And the woman said, oh, good, because this is freeing. I can tell the truth also. and she takes her hair off, and she's bald-headed, okay? She starts pulling pads off, okay? And she's like, oh, this is so good. She said, oh, you're going to like this one. She takes her leg off, okay? Needless to say, the guy turns purple and runs out of the room. Okay. But you have to feel comfortable the way God made you. Yeah, if there's some natural things you need to do for health reasons, you know, I know I haven't been to the gym in almost 2.5 years. Not because I didn't want to. My body was healing some things. And matter of fact, I have an appointment tomorrow to take an exam, and then Monday, 8 a.m., take a stress test just so that they can say, okay, you can go. And the reason they had to tell me not to go is because, and I was honest with them, I said, I'm telling you now, I can't go to the gym and just do light exercises. I just can't. If I'm going in there, I'm working. Okay. When I get in the gym, that's the only speed I know. Because otherwise, why go? I'd stay home and just. Okay. That's not why I go to the gym. Okay. So, yeah. Once they give the okay, I'm going to be 20 pounds lighter in about 6 weeks. I'm just telling you the way it is. God told me how this body works, all right? But let me show you why it's so dangerous to see yourselves in your own eyes, okay? And it's a familiar passage. It's in Luke. You go there, Luke 6. So where did they put my piece of my beam? All right. Jesus said, this is in the Phillips translation, why do you look at the speck of sawdust? Thank you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and fail to notice the plank in your eye? Okay. How can you say to your brother, first of all, you couldn't get close to him because I'm going up to take the plank out of his eye. I'm going to bash him in the head before I get there. Why? I'm not seeing clearly because there's something wrong with my vision. I'm seeing myself through my own eyes. I'm deceiving myself. I don't have anything in my eye. It's you. Or is it you over there? I mean, you know, can't see clearly. First, I have to get myself right. I got to take the plank out of my eye and I got to lay it aside. Now I can see clearly. Now I can realize I have to be looking through God's eyes. Now I can see clearly and show you where the little speck is on your eye. But if I'm too full of myself and I'm just right because I know, I'm going to do damage to you and to me. Because I'm telling you, it never happened to me, but I can imagine how it would feel to bump into something. You have that plank in your eye and you walk into a wall. That plank's going to go someplace. Okay. And it ain't going to be through the wall. Okay. Right? But if we keep seeing ourselves as being right in our own eyes, we'll never be any good for God or anyone else. We no longer have the luxury, folks, of letting you determine whether or not you are right or wrong. We don't have that luxury. It has to be totally dependent on what God says. Deuteronomy 13. It's the last one I'm going to share. Verse 18. Says, yes, obediently listen to God, your God. Keep all his commandments that I am giving you today. do the right thing in the eyes of your God. Not being right in your own eyes, but being right in the eyes of God. Say this to your neighbor and I'm done. Turn to your neighbor, look at them. You don't have, first take the beam out if it's there. You don't want to hurt them when you turn toward them. Okay. And say, no more selfies. No more doing what I want. When I want. I will no longer do what's right in my own eyes. I will always do the right thing in the eyes of God. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you, Father, for building us up. Thank you for edifying us. Thank you for letting us know yet another strategy that we can put in place that we always stay true to who we are as your church. Thank you, Father, that you'll show us each individually, because it's an individual thing, it's an individual choice. So you'll show each of us individually the beam or the beams or the specs, whatever it is that has us taking soul selfies, that has us acting like we're right in our own eyes. Thank you for clearly showing them to us. We're not asking you to remove them because you can't. You didn't put them there. We allow them. We have to make a choice to take them out. You've already told us. You put before us life and death, blessings and curses, and you said choose life. So as you reveal to us those areas where we're leaning to our own understanding, those areas where we're acting like we're right in our own eyes, we're going to choose life and make whatever adjustments are necessary, because we are your children, period. Made in your image, after your likeness, fearfully, wonderfully, with greatness, with awe, amazingly made. And no one's going to make us feel less than that. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.